afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip. We're glad that you've had a chance to join us this afternoon. Shooting From the Hip is sponsored by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 in Dryden Road in Moraine, and we would love to have you stop by and learn more about the range. You can also go to our website at sim-trainer.com, and we have most of the information that you would want to know about getting started in the shooting sports or finding out how to purchase a gun. Finding out what gun is best for you and how to get trained on that, all of that information we have available on our website at sim-trainer.com. If you're new to our program, we'd like to welcome you to Shooting From the Hip, and you can also find more information about the show on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. That's the page for Shooting From the Hip. And we also have on that page archived previous shows. All of the other previous shows are located out there, and we'll give you an opportunity to listen to some of the things that we've discussed in the past. There's usually a summary of what we talked about, at least in brief of some sort. So if you're looking for some topic in particular, you may be able to find it that way. And you can also then listen to the shows there. If you are on Facebook, we would love to have you find our Facebook page and like that. Facebook is facebook.com/simtrainer, but there's also a link on our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio. If you are one of these people that likes to listen to the programs after the fact, maybe you're not available right now at 2 o'clock and you'd have most of the time you would be doing something else or away from a radio and not able to do that. We also have a podcast, so you can subscribe to our podcast feed on our radio page, and we have that available for several different types of podcast listeners or just the straight XML if you're one of the geeks like me and you know how to deal with that kind of stuff. So we would love to have you follow the show and be more active in things that are going on here. We do have this is a call-in talk show, so we would love to have your calls as well. If you'd like to be on the show today, call the studio at 457-1290, and our broadcast professional producer will take your calls and get you information up on the board while us amateurs sit here and just yell at the microphones. And we would love to have you do that. The phone number again is 457-1290. If you have some specific questions about classes or some other information about the range and you'd like to talk to someone, the range is open today, and we would be happy to take your calls down there at 293-3914. That's area code 937-293-3914, and somebody down there at the range will be able to take your calls, perhaps get you signed up for some classes, and answer whatever questions that you would have. We've had a lot of interest in the classes. Many of the classes have filled up. The basic handgun on the 10th of January, that's a great introduction class for people who are looking to purchase a firearm or just trying to find out more about self-defense or maybe prepare for a concealed carry class. That class on the 10th of January is now full, as is our concealed carry class next weekend. That class is full, but we do have a few slots left in the class on the 26th. That's the basic handgun class. And we also have a few slots left in our concealed carry class. We had a second one this month. So on the 19th and 20th is another class. If you're interested in getting your license to carry a concealed handgun and you've had some experience shooting it, you're pretty competent using your handgun, which is really the need before you come to take the concealed carry class, because that class is much less about shooting and much more about understanding the moral, ethical, and legal issues associated with carrying a firearm for personal defense. So we do that. We spend most of the time on those other areas. And in fact, that matches with the Ohio standard for what must be in a concealed carry class. The minimum standard is 12 hours total, of which 10 hours is in the classroom and 2 hours is in the range. So we have followed that same kind of model, but 2 hours in the range simply is not enough time to get experience for a brand new shooter to the point where they need to be in order to defend themselves with a handgun. So we do have other classes for that, and the basic handgun class is a great way to get that experience and prepare for the concealed carry class. Today is Ladies' Day at Shooting From the Hip, and I have some guests with me in the studio, and I'd like to introduce them now and let you know a little bit about them and bring them in on the radio as well. I have with me Diane Jennings, who has been a member of Sim Trainer for a while and has been shooting for some time, and took pretty much all the classes that we offer there and then some. And also with her is a friend, Phyllis Williams, and she has been also a member of Sim Trainer for some time. And these two decided that they would go take a trip across the country, and we will let them share some of those experiences with you today. Ladies, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Let me just let you get started and tell our listeners a little bit about who you are. No, you can't flip a coin. I'm just going to pick. Diane, you get to start. And why you? Because, you know, 'cause you're the first one on my list. So just tell folks a little bit about who you are, your background, how you got into the shooting sports, and you know, what it is that brought you to Sim Trainer.
I retired in March of 2010 and decided at that time I wanted to experience shooting. I went over to Dayton Armory, bought a gun, and took a CCW, which is a concealed carry course. Had never fired the gun before. We went out into a cornfield, and we were shooting at paper plates.
Now, let me just clarify. This was not at Sim Trainer you took that
class. No, this was not at Sim Trainer. I could not shoot the gun. It was too powerful, and I didn't have any experience. So I decided I actually passed the course. I had my CCW license, but I couldn't carry because I couldn't fire this gun. I decided to go to Sim Trainer and take some private lessons, and that's how I got started.
And since then, you have been through pretty much our entire syllabus of classes.
Almost everything you have to offer.
Yeah. So, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Phyllis?
Hello. Yes. I moved to Ohio from Texas. I was a teacher. My entire career was teaching high school and college. I retired about 2 years ago. But as far as firearms are concerned, I brought a revolver with me from Texas. And when I moved to Ohio, I wasn't sure what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept it in the basement sometimes. I kept it on the closet shelf sometimes under the mattress, loaded, unloaded. Basically, I didn't really know what the law was or whether that .22 revolver was what I needed. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So my friend and I were in a sporting goods store talking about that, and a man in the store overheard us talking, and he came up to us and said, "I know where you can go get some training, Sim Trainer." So I looked it up and signed up for First Shots. That was about a year ago in November. And from there, I have, like Diane, have taken almost every course they offer.
So then what was the experience that you guys took on this this summer? Tell us a little bit about your trip out west.
Well, we both joined the NRA, and we both received the email announcing the Women's Wilderness Escape. And Diane and I met sometime during the year, and she said, "Let's go." It was in New Mexico at the NRA Whittington Center, and it was a week of shooting for women only.
Okay.
We got to experience pistols, rifles, shotguns, archery, and black powder rifle.
Did you have to have come with experience, or was this for anybody?
It was for anyone, and there was no experience was required. And they provided all the weapons, all the ammunition, nice accommodations, all the food. It was just a wonderful experience.
I agree.
Okay.
I had not shot most of the guns that were provided, or the firearms. I had become better at pistol.
Okay.
But that's really the only thing I would call myself proficient at. But I shot clay for the first time successfully.
With a shotgun?
With a shotgun.
Okay. And was that like in trap or skeet? Sporting clays?
Sporting clays.
Okay.
And they also let us try trap and skeet,
okay,
which I failed at. But it was fun.
It does take a little practice.
I understand now the layout of the range for the game. I would say that the instruction was excellent. If they can get me to shoot a clay out of the air in about the second try, I think that's good instruction.
That's really good. Yeah, that is fun. And now that's unfortunately shooting at flying clays is something we don't do at Sim Trainer simply because it's an indoor range and we don't have that kind of ceiling space. But I have done some of that. I enjoy it. I'm not tremendous at it, although I am a shotgun instructor. So I can get people to that part, but I am not by any means a fierce competitor in shotgun, although I just enjoy it a lot. And I have a couple of shotguns, and I've been out sporting clays and trap and skeet, and it's a tremendous amount of fun. Now, this program is specifically for women, and one of the things that I've noticed being in the shooting sports for a while is that we are seeing a lot more women getting into the shooting sports than we did for a long time. And I think part of that is because the women as a community have been somewhat underserved by the shooting sports community for a long time, and there's a lot of people now who are saying, this is not just for the guys. This is for everybody. And so we want some programs as well. There's some things that we'd like to be able to do. The guys look like they're having a lot of fun. Why don't we go out and do that too? So this program was specifically designed for women out at the Whittington Center. That's correct?
That's right.
Okay. So, but they also had, it wasn't all women instructors. They had men there and women that were teaching it. And I know there are some ranges that do sometimes set up women-only classes. I think that's important for particularly in some cases for concealed carry, where you've got women who've been treated very badly and may not have they may be uncomfortable around men after the way they've been treated. And we're working in that direction. One of the biggest problems we've had is getting enough people to teach the classes and to run all the range. You guys have participated in some of the activities there, and we have several women that come shoot, and we have several women who are qualified as instructors. But that's a little different from being able to assist in the range and then being comfortable enough to take over. And we're working on that. That's something that we like to do. But is that the kind of thing? What would you do to try to reach out? We've just got another minute or so left before we need to take a break. But what are some of the suggestions that you would have for women who are hearing this for the first time and saying, oh, man, I'm scared of guns. I don't want any part of that. I don't think so. And it's a little, where do you come? What would you tell them?
I would tell them that first, safety is the number one issue at Sim Trainer, and you will be safe with the gun. They watch over you very closely when you start off. I didn't know anything about a semi-automatic pistol, never mm-hmm. had held one, and I've learned how to operate it, clean it, clear it. I understand how it works, and I know how to treat it safely. I know what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. The training is the main thing. Training.
Yeah. I mean, we would never throw somebody out on the street in a brand new car for the first time, never having driven before. And we certainly wouldn't think that's a great idea. We need to take our first break for the hour. But if you've been listening to this and you have some questions, you can call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up on the board as well. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Thank you, Uncle Ted. We're glad to be back. If you're interested in being part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the Master Control Suite, and we'll get you up on the board and try to answer your questions as well. Again, today in the studio, I have with me a couple of guests. Diane Jennings and Phyllis Williams have been coming to talk about some of their experiences in the shooting sports and in general, how do we get maybe more women into the shooting sports? And speaking to women who are maybe concerned a little bit about getting started in the shooting sports is kind of where we left off at the end of the last segment. So, Diane, you have been talking about a little bit on getting into the shooting sports and some of the challenges that you had to overcome. Tell the folks a little bit about what you've been through.
I think the main challenge I had was that I shoot left-handed, and I have small hands. I had to find a gun that was suitable for something ambidextrous and something that I could grip properly. Also, personal strength. If you have a semi-automatic, you have to be able to rack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of those factors are very important for a woman when she gets into the sport of shooting.
Right. And of course, one of the worst things that someone can do is buy a gun for you without you getting the chance to try it out and be part of that selection process. We've had several people call the show at various times saying, I'd like to get my wife a gun. What's the best gun for me to get her? And my answer to that is there is no gun that you can get for her unless she picked it out. That's got to be the key. And really, that doesn't apply just to women. That's everybody. But a lot of guys think they're helping out when they go out and they get the gun for the little lady. Unfortunately, there's a lot of gun shops that don't understand all of the different aspects of what makes the right gun for a particular person. That's part of the reason we have the Try It Before You Buy It program at Sim Trainer. If people want to try out a gun, if it's one of the guns that we have in our safe, for $10, you can come in, rent that gun, buy a box of ammo, and go out into the range. You don't have to be a member to do that. And it gives people an opportunity to actually try the gun. One of the things that that we found is that you can really tell what guns you don't like just by holding it in your hand. If it's too big, if it's the wrong weight, if you can't operate the action, although, frankly, operating the action is usually more a question of technique than it is about strength. And I think you guys probably know that. But that's something that a lot of people think they're not strong enough to rack a semi-automatic, so they want that nice, easy revolver to operate. And then what do we find out about the revolver? The trigger is a lot heavier to operate, and so in order to do that correctly, you really have to have a pretty good grip strength, more so than you have to have to operate a semi-auto. And that just doesn't seem logical to a lot of people. They think, well, this has got to be real easy to operate because all you have to do is pull the trigger. It is simple, but if you have difficulty pulling the trigger and you can't do it smoothly, you're not going to be able to shoot accurately. Go ahead.
That's one of the problems I had with the revolver. It was a double action, and it was very difficult to pull the trigger.
What revolver did you start with?
I started with a Smith & Wesson Air Light, I think they called it.
Okay.
It was a very lightweight, very small 38. It also took the 38 plus ammunition. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't shoot it. The grip was painful to actually grip it, and I would maybe shoot it 10 times, and my hand would be bruised.
And the problem with a very light gun, although it's very easy to carry because it doesn't have a lot of weight that you have to carry around, when you go to shoot it, the lightness of the gun means that you have to be providing the recoil absorbing. You know, the weight of the gun provides inertia that if there's not weight there, then all of that force required to drive the bullet down to the target is absorbed by you. We had one person, a friend of ours, who came to take the concealed carry class with a very light little gun like that. And by the time she was done shooting 100 rounds, her hand was pretty badly bruised. It was just a matter of, you know, that it's really okay for 5 or 6 shots. But then when you take a class and you have to fire 100 or 150 rounds, now you're talking about that might be a little bit uncomfortable to shoot. And in her case, it was uncomfortable for several days afterwards. So, yeah, gun selection is something that's really important. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on at Sim Trainer and doing pretty well is helping people find the gun that fits best for them, as opposed to just trying to find the perfect gun. There is no one perfect gun that works best for everybody. What did you end up with, Phyllis?
Well, I went to the range and tried several before I bought them, and I picked out an XD subcompact.
Mm-hmm.
It's too big to carry.
Okay.
For me.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, but we need to go over to the News Center and let Daryl Bauer tell us about what's going on in the area. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad that you're able to join us this afternoon. Again, Sim Trainer sponsors this program. Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from the DP&L maintenance yard, right there north of the I-70 entrance to from Dryden Road. We'd love to have you be part of the show today. If you have a question about something having to do with firearms, something to do perhaps with concealed carry or some of the firearms law in Ohio, we'll be happy to answer those questions as well. The phone number here into the studio is 457-1290. Just draw a blank here. No, that's the range number is 293-3914. So if you'd like to have some questions asked down there and maybe get signed up for a class, that's the number that you need. But if you want to be on the show today, 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we would love to get you up on the board as well. We also have an email address. If you can't get into the show, but you have a question that you would like to ask, we take those questions through email, and sometimes we will bring them up on the air as well as is appropriate, but we also answer them directly. You can send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com. And that information, along with much of the other stuff that you'll find about Sim Trainer and the radio program, is on our website at www.sim-trainer.com. And don't forget the dash that needs to go in there. I don't even know where you go if you get that, but it's not our website. So sim-trainer.com is the URL for our website. In the studio I have with me today, two women who have been talking about the shooting sports. They're members at Sim Trainer, and they have been pretty active members at Sim Trainer in learning various things about handling firearms. Diane Jennings and Phyllis Williams. Ladies, thanks for coming in today, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Before we took a break, we were talking a little bit about firearm selection. And Diane, you had said you had something else that you wanted to talk about, choosing a firearm and finding out the ones that are the best for you, and more especially avoiding the ones that aren't.
I think the main factor is getting one with a good grip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was...
Define what you mean by a good grip.
One where you can actually grip the gun comfortably. And it's... Some of them actually had like ridges on it where they would dig into your hands. And it just wasn't a good...
It wasn't comfortable for you.
It wasn't comfortable and it wasn't a good grip.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a good grip before you can actually shoot well.
Mm-hmm.
Another factor is the trigger pull.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to decide whether you want one with a double action, which is a longer trigger pull, or the single action. But you have to be able to pull the trigger back smoothly.
Mm-hmm. And it needs to fit in your hand. You need to be able to grab the gun, hold it comfortably, hold it securely, and have your finger reach the trigger properly, but without having to do anything to your grip. You don't want to have to turn your hand around the gun in order to grab it. So when you put the gun in your hand and it's centered between your thumb and your index finger, if you can't reach your finger out to where it needs to be on the trigger, that's going to be a problem when you go to shoot it.
Yes, you shouldn't have to adjust your grip when you shoot.
So you grab the gun the way it's supposed to be, and then it doesn't change throughout that whole time.
Absolutely.
And that's really important to understand when people go to try a gun and they fit a gun to their hand. They don't, you know, there's a lot of guns. There's a whole bunch of different guns out there, and some of them are better suited to some people than they are to other people. One of the nice things about the Smith & Wesson military and police line, the Smith & Wesson M&P, is that it has an adjustable grip, and that's the one that you ended up choosing.
Yes, actually, I have two of them.
Okay, and what were some of the factors that, besides the fact that the grip fit your hand, that things that you liked about that gun?
The magazine release was, it was ambidextrous. I could put the magazine release on the other side so that I could just reach over and release the magazine instead of having to turn the gun over.
And for those people who aren't blessed to be able to actually see what's going on here, you are left-handed.
Actually, I'm not left-handed.
You shoot
but
left-handed.
I shoot left-handed,
right,
because I'm very strongly left-eye dominant. And I didn't know that...
Well, you're kind of ambidextrous. I mean, you do a lot of things with different hands, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
and it was
so
a good choice for me to learn to shoot left-handed.
For you, because you shoot left-handed, having a gun that works well in your left hand is really important. And that's a challenge for anybody that's left-handed. If they have a gun that only works well for a right-handed shooter, that puts them at a significant disadvantage. And so the Smith & Wesson M&P, as you mentioned, the magazine release is reversible so that you can switch it to operate with your thumb on the other side. And it has a slide lock that works on both sides. So there's a slide lock lever on both sides of the gun, whereas a lot of guns only have a slide lock lever on the left side for operating with the right thumb.
And you have to turn the gun over, and it's very awkward, and it takes time. Also, finding a holster, a left-handed holster, can be a problem.
It can be, because, I mean, let's face it, although there's a lot of people out there who are left-handed, there's a whole lot more people, like something like 10 times more people that are right-handed. And so the manufacturers typically start with the right-handed holsters, and then as they come out later, there'll be other holsters that'll come out that are better suited for left-handed. And there are very few guns that are very specifically designed for left-handed. There are a few, but not many. Charter Arms has a revolver they call the Southpaw, where the cylinder actually comes out on the right-hand side of the gun instead of on the left-hand side of the gun, like almost every other double-action revolver out there. That's kind of an unusual characteristic. So a lot of the people that shoot revolvers end up having to use it like a right-handed person uses their gun when they go to load it and operate it and so forth, and have to switch back and forth all the time. So by finding a gun like the Smith & Wesson M&P that was pretty well balanced to being able to work on both sides, that helped. What are some of the other things that you found about it?
I remember when I was trying to learn to shoot the revolver, I couldn't find a picture of how to grip the gun. So I had to take a picture and reverse it by putting it, a mirror. So a mirror image, because I couldn't, and no one could show me because they were all right-handed shooters. So I had to keep staring at the mirror and making sure that my fingers and my hand was placed correctly. I found it very frustrating because I didn't understand why they wouldn't have a picture of a right and a left-handed grip.
Mm-hmm. Especially
when they're starting to do that.
Yeah, they are. And of course, we at SimTrainer know how to deal with that problem. And it's a problem. It's not really a problem. It's nothing anybody has to be embarrassed about being left-handed. But most of the instructors are right-handed and have never shot left-handed, most of our instructors have shot left-handed simply because we need to know how to do that. But if you go to some place and they're trying to show you how to do it and they only know how to do it in their right hand, they're not going to be able to help you very much. So that is kind of an important thing. Let's take a little bit of a turn. Obviously, the last show, for those of you who've been listening and may have not realized that we didn't have a show last week because of the basketball game, 2 weeks ago was the shooting at Sandy Hook. And there's been an awful lot of discussion about the announcements and by all different parties. We have new initiatives for gun control and restricting the ownership of firearms and magazines and ammunition. And then last week, the National Rifle Association came out and said that they think that what we need to do is to put armed security in the schools. You guys are both retired teachers. I have an education background, but I have never been a classroom teacher. So let me get your view. What do you think? What are some of the lessons that we need to start taking out of what happened at Sandy Hook? Phyllis?
Well, I believe that schools do need to be protected by some kind of armed guard of some type. Where I worked, we had have a police force.
Mm-hmm.
They are armed, where I retired from.
Mm-hmm.
If a teacher chooses to carry where it's allowed training and being very skilled at the use and understanding all the safety, to me, would be very, very important, the most important thing.
I think that's an excellent point. And not only training, but having a good plan. In most of the facilities that are responsible have an emergency action plan of some sort. We have been drilling a form of an emergency action plan since long before I was in school, and that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we called those fire drills. That's an emergency action plan. That is, says, if this occurs, here's how we're going to respond. We're going to get everybody out of the building. We're going to do it orderly. Here are the places where everybody goes. We're going to count heads when we get there. We're going to make sure we've got everybody out. And we practice this on a regular basis. We don't have, in most schools, an emergency action plan for a situation that is similar to what happened at Sandy Hook. And that, I think, is a problem. Part of the problem is that it's a lot easier to recognize that something like a fire can happen. It's inanimate. It doesn't have any intent. It just happens. Now, if somebody could light the place on fire, and obviously that would be a different situation. But even then, once the fire is started, you know what you need to do. You have an immediate problem that you have to solve, and you have to get away from the danger, and you have to make sure everybody is safe. How, then, is it that we have not addressed that same question in most schools for the active shooter situation? Now, there haven't been anybody lost in a fire in over 50 years in a school. That tells us that those preparations, that doesn't mean there hasn't been fires. It just means that our preparations for dealing with that has been adequate, and we recognize that it was important and we did what we needed to do. What can we do for the active shooter? Obviously, armed guards is one possibility. If you have a large enough school and you have a need for that, I think that's certainly an option. If you have people in the school who are going to be there anyway, like teachers and staff and administration and so forth, and they also have an additional duty that is what they do only when the action plan is turned on. You know, it doesn't take them any additional effort to do that except for the training that they have to do and the planning that they have to do. But that's something, in-service training is required for everyone anyway, is it not?
Right.
And so what would, you guys have been in that environment. Talk to folks about some ideas.
Well, I do know that after the shooting at Virginia Tech
right.
several years ago, because I was working on a college campus, we were very aware of it. Everybody
Absolutely.
Was. But our police department did step up the planning.
Okay.
And on the back of every classroom door that I can recall, there is a plan for every type of emergency. And it's actually up to the faculty to understand the plan. It's in the handbook. Everybody should know it, and it's well marked.
Do they go through a practice? Do they do any drills?
Not anything except fire drills that I know of. Sometimes the buildings are evacuated, and we go outside, and they lock down. There's a PA system, so there's a way to alert everybody, but I don't believe we ever practiced for an active shooter. But I knew what to do if that happened.
Now, you were in the college and university area.
Yes.
Okay.
I was in an elementary school, and we had, I would say, at least two or three lockdown drills every year.
That music means we're going to have to take our last break for the hour, but we will be back after this break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. And in the studio today, we've been talking with Diane Jennings and Phyllis Williams about a variety of things having to do with women and shooting sports. And most recently, we were talking about the Sandy Hook shooting. And since both of them are retired teachers, I wanted to get a little bit of their perspective on some preparations that have been made or might be made and some things that we might do to deal with a situation like that if it occurs again. And frankly, I think the answer is not so much if, but when, because it's not something that can be prevented. Adding gun laws isn't going to prevent it. It's only something that if somebody who decides to go do something and they're dedicated to do something to harm others, they are going to be able to at least have some measure of success. And at that point, the question of what could we do to prevent these things from happening in the future is no longer relevant. The only question at that point is what do we do to limit the damage? And Diane, you were talking about some of the plans that have in schools and some of the drills that have been done. Were there ever drills for an active shooter in your experience?
We practiced probably maybe twice a year a lockdown drill.
Okay.
And the only thing that I can think of that is maybe to have a mock scenario so that you would have to think about what you would do if there was an active shooter in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be some alternatives or some options that need to be discussed. You can't always just do what the plan says you need to do.
And frankly, the teachers at Sandy Hook, the ones that we have heard some of the little bit of information that's come out about that, they were pretty creative and they did whatever they possibly could to protect their students. Some of them were successful and some of them weren't, unfortunately. And that's how we ended up with 20 of those kids being killed. I mean, there was only so much they could do when somebody gets in through the room and they're shooting and you don't have any way to stop them from shooting.
No, you're totally defenseless.
And that really is that. I think that is a factor that we need to recognize and deal with and get our heads around. We need to be mentally prepared that these things can happen and that at the point they happen, it's no longer a question of what do we do to prevent these things from happening, because whatever it was that we had done didn't work at this point. Most schools, I mean, you guys went through schools. There was never a shooting in all your careers at your schools.
Never.
Yeah, I mean, that's most of the schools are going to have that situation. So we could have armed paid security on staff. And if we do that, they will be effective at that point because they've been trained to deal with those situations. But then what happens in the meantime?
They can't be everywhere, though.
You're absolutely correct. Unless you have a large number of them, one person can't be everywhere. And for a large school with a lot of area to cover, they will go to the sound of gunfire. But by the time the shooting has already started, It's already a bad situation.
It's too late for somebody, probably.
It could very well be.
Teachers need to have a way to defend themselves and their students.
And how do you do that? Yeah, see, that's the problem. That's, you know, that's the question that's a really tough, that's hard for us to get our hands around. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in today. There have been a couple of calls that came in who left messages that they wanted to have answered, and I want to try to go ahead and answer those questions as best I can in the last minute or two that we have left. One person had called about renewal requirements for the concealed handgun license, and there are requirements for renewal. If it's your first renewal, all you have to do is fill out the application, pay the fees, go back to the sheriff and take your license, and they will go through, you go through the application process again. The fee for doing that is less for renewal. I think it's $50 to renew instead of the $67 that you pay to get a new license. If it's your second renewal and your renewal takes place between now and when the law goes into effect that was passed and signed, and I don't know the exact date for that. I'll have to look that up, but it's sometime in late March. If your renewal is due before the end of March, you will probably need to get a recertification of range competence. That what you have to do for that is not very well defined, but we have a procedure for that, and we have certificates for that at Sim Trainer. We do that by appointment, and it's $25, and we will get you that range certification that you need in order to renew if your license is coming up for renewal between now and when the law goes into effect that eliminates that requirement. So you can call the range at 293-3914, or you can send an email to us at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we'll get back to you and get you set up for that range competency recertification. One other person called, wanted to know what the proper ways were to protect yourself and what steps that you would do to call 911 if you needed to protect yourself. And that's an excellent question. That really comes up. I mean, we could do a whole show on that by itself. But the short version of that is you do what you have to do to defend yourself. And when the threat is no longer imminent, when you're no longer at a point where you're having to immediately defend yourself, and opening a call to 911 is probably the best thing that you could do. And I personally would recommend that you also contact your attorney. And if you don't have your attorney, that is a time when you need one, because you have a right to an attorney. And if you don't use that right when you need it most, there's no telling what might happen. And it could make life a lot more difficult for you. Thank you very much for being part of the show. This is the end of today's Shooting from the Hip. We'll hope that you'll be with us next week. And a quick program note, we'll be on New Year's Eve from 8 to 9 in the morning. So join us then. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.